It was a collaboration that we would base a fabric line on what I saw from space of Earth. And so I picked pictures that I took when I was living on space station. And we ended up picking 30 different colorways from these pictures and were turned into a fabric line.
Welcome to Created Creative. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Ruth.
And here we are post-Easter.
Here we are. We made it through Easter. What's new with you, Dawn?
I'm delaying when I release the book.
You are? Why?
Just to review, you had this great idea of just writing an intro and nothing else would change. I would just re-release a book from 12 years ago. And thank you for liking it enough to suggest that. So that would have taken, whatever, 20 minutes. And then I decided I want to add another layer because it was about being a nomad and I wrote it while being a nomad. So there's more than half of the experience is not in the book. Plus why I did it was not in the book because it was too recent to be writing about.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what came over me. I started talking to book publicists.
Oh, so are they wanting you to expand it?
They said a little bit expanding it, but more... We can't help you in 2 months.
Oh, okay.
There's more of a runway.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. This is turning into a big deal, Dawn.
Accident or not. But it all came from you, which is the fun part.
Accidental big deal.
I may or may not actually get publicity, but I wanted to find out what that means and whether it's a possibility.
Why not? If there's interest there, go for it and... You can take the time that you need to take.
And when I did the web series, I have a web series called A Dairy Tale. Everyone visit adairytale.com. But it went for 3 seasons and it was so easy to get press because we had cows in every episode. And so we would talk to NPR in Wisconsin or morning farm shows in Missouri, places they knew we were a slam dunk for their audience. So we were on ABC, NBC, NPR, all these local affiliates of national news. And with the book, I need a different professional to decide what the angle is.
Yeah,
I'm too close to it.
And I suppose they haven't been able to tell you that yet.
It could be the Surgeon General has declared an epidemic of loneliness. And I have a lot in there about losing community and building community.
Yes.
And I I'm fully against self-help. When something's wrong, you need a community.
Yeah.
You can't say to the person who's hurting, okay, now fix it. They're already depleted.
Oh my gosh. That feels really powerful, that angle.
Some of that overlaps with Kate Bowler. So I want to give her credit that she helped me develop the thinking and I'm going another direction with it, but she's definitely in that world as well.
Yeah.
And just nomad things are like van life is a very popular hashtag. So there's a lot of digital nomads now, and I did it before that.
You were the OG.
Right. So OG nomad, and how has it changed? And it is a little fun that it ended with me winning the New York Housing Lottery. And nowhere to live, and now I'm in a luxury building in New York City.
I don't know. I think you're a success story of the nomad life. Yeah. So it's an interesting story, and there's a lot of cool angles. So I will be interested to hear how this unfolds as you talk with people that know about good ways to market something like this, what direction it'll take. And this is all helpful information, I think, to be shared on our podcast.
Good.
Like this too.
You all can be on this journey and it may or may not go big and you'll just have been on the journey.
Yep.
I very much think the journey is as much fun as the destination. Bring it on. I'll learn about publicity. Let's go.
Yeah. And is life supposed to be that way, ideally, that we have fun on the journey and it's not all about where you're heading or where you're going.
This is a huge growth area because I'm Enneagram 3 and I like to achieve and I've had to learn to embrace the journey because I do want the accolade at the end.
I wonder what our most recent guest is on the Enneagram scale.
The astronaut?
The astronaut. Like
Karen. We should use her name. She's a person.
The artist / astronaut, Karen. But I would be interested to know what she is on the Enneagram to have such diverse skill set.
You rarely meet someone who is so renaissance.
I know.
Like the very highest level of scientist. You're not going to say an astronaut is not the highest level of a scientist. And such an excellent artist that the National Quilt Museum has a whole display of her.
I know. I just think that this was a fascinating conversation to get to hear about both of those parts of her life and the transition from the one area to the other area and how both sides feed her life and her creativity and her imagination. And so this was a fun conversation, and partly for me too, since I've known her since I was 5 years old. Yeah. So
that fun too. You saw the making of an astronaut artist.
Yeah. So enjoy this new episode of Created Creative.
Enjoy.
Hello, Ruth. Hi.
Oh, it's nice to see you.
You too. How have you been?
Hey, really good. Oh, gosh. Hey, I'm so happy that you could be with us today. This is just really such a treat. And you're definitely the guest that I've known the longest.
Did you go to high school with Ruth?
I did. All the way from elementary school through high school, because we were such a tiny little town.
Yeah. So we grew up in the same town and went to the same school. I guess we were from neighboring towns, really, because you were from Vining, and I was actually out in the country, so I wasn't in any town, but we went to the same school, and it was a very small class, 35 in our graduating class. So I feel like I could introduce you myself, but we usually ask our guests to say a little bit about themselves, and would you mind doing that for us?
Sure. So as you said, I grew up tiny little Vining, Minnesota, actually out in the country as well. My dream from the time I was really little was to be an astronaut. I think everybody in my school knew that's what I wanted to do. And then went on to school at the University of North Dakota, studied engineering, got an internship at NASA. I went on to get my doctorate degree, got hired as an engineer with NASA, and then applied to the astronaut program in the year 2000 and got in, surprisingly enough. I was an astronaut for 20 years. I made 2 trips to space. The first was in 2008 on Space Shuttle Discovery. It was a quick trip. We were building the International Space Station at the time. And then the second trip was in 2013. And that I rode on a Russian Soyuz rocket and lived on Space Station for 6 months, actually 5.5 months, but we'll round up to 6 months. In that period of time, I married my husband, Doug Hurley, who is also an astronaut. We met in our astronaut class. We had our son between my 2 flights. So he was born in 2010. Mm-hmm. He's 14 now. And then I retired from the astronaut program in 2020, right after the pandemic hit, actually. And since then, I've been trying to pursue my second, probably my greater interest as a child was art and sewing and that sort of thing. That's how I spent my free time. I wasn't one of those space nuts who had the telescope. I wanted to be an astronaut, and that's what I was interested in. But I spent my spare time sewing and drawing and being creative. And so after I retired from the astronaut program, I was able to shift focus a little bit and do more of that creative stuff that I just love so much.
Yeah, Karen, that is what I remember when we were growing up, that you were always drawing. And art was very much when we thought of who's the artist in the class, it's Karen. And so it's exciting to see you returning to that after all these years as well.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun with it too.
I bet your life feels very different now, doesn't it?
It does. It's nice. And one of the decisions for retiring from NASA was to also be here for my son. When he was really little, I was traveling so much and everything, but I like being the one to take him to swim practice and to be able to go to his events and stuff. And so that was part of the idea, is that I work from home.
Yeah. You know? And that is awesome. Because those years, when they are home, they do just fly by so fast.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. I have a lot of questions that I want to ask you, and I'm sure Dawn does too. But the first thing that I just keep wondering about, I love the fabrics that you're making. They're just beautiful. But could you describe to us a little bit about the process of how you are getting them produced and how you design them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started working a couple years ago with this woman, Marcia, with the Hip Setter Group. And she got in touch with several different companies, but Robert Kaufman Fabric, it's a quilting fabric company. And we worked up a relationship with them for me to be one of their designers. And this line called Earth Views, it was a collaboration and coming up with the idea together that we would base a fabric line on what I saw from space of Earth. And so I picked pictures that I took when I was living on Space Station. And I worked with a couple designers at Robert Kaufman, who obviously have done this forever and know the process. They helped me get them into what would look good on fabric. And they came up with a bunch of different colorways and ideas. And I looked at them and I said, well, I like this and this. I like this better than this. And so we ended up picking 30 different colorways from these pictures and were turned into a fabric line. And then that was very successful and so much fun. And then I designed some quilts to go with that. And granted, this whole time I was learning a lot because I was totally new to this industry. So it was a lot of handholding from them and from others. And then my second line of fabric, I've really liked batiks, which is wax dyed, and they're handmade in Indonesia, I believe these particular ones are. And so my second line was batiks, where I designed what the print would be, and then they took them and put them in the form then that would go to the printer. And so, yeah, they just came out to stores in January, so they're relatively new. Oh. And then I designed a few quilt patterns to go with those batiks.
Yeah. And the quilt patterns, how do you go about designing a quilt pattern?
What is that? Yeah.
That's another thing that it was a lot of handholding at the beginning. But I used to make gifts for people, like all the way through college, graduate school. When I was an astronaut, I would make gifts for people. And that's how my creative side came out. My family used to draw names for Christmas. And so I would get so-and-so's name and I would find out their favorite color and what they liked. And I would then design a quilt or a pillow or a blanket or whatever and make it for them. I never worked from patterns. And so the idea of creating a pattern for somebody else to use was really odd to me. But I worked with a pattern writer and editor who actually happens to also be an engineer at NASA, which was so cool. Sarah Ruiz is her name. And she's very good at writing the technical patterns. So I come up with an idea and she can turn it into the instructions. This is where you do it. She's very, very good at that. Anyway, so that's the process there. And then the second time around, it was a little bit easier for me. And I had the idea of how it all comes together. And I was able to do a little bit more and put less of the work on her the second time around, just as I started to understand.
Yeah. So it's been very collaborative.
Yes.
Yeah. That is a beautiful thing, too. And that's something that we've found as we talk to different creative people, that some people really like to just do everything themselves, but other people really find value in the collaborative process as well. Yeah, I think that's inspiring because I tend to work by myself a lot. But as I get older, I realize how valuable it is to draw on the knowledge of people around me, like Dawn. Yeah, right.
Do you think being in the International Space Station, is it more important or equal to be able to be alone because you're not on Earth? Or is it more important to be able to collaborate because you're in this tiny space with other people?
Both, I'd say. You definitely need to have some independence because you are in a small environment with very few people. You definitely need independence. But the collaboration is 100%. Not only the team of astronauts that's with you on board, whether that's two others or six others or whatever, it's the ground team, the flight control room. There's several around the world. There's one in Houston. There's one in Moscow. There's one in Tsukuba, Japan. There's one in Germany. All of these ground teams are working together to keep the space station up and running, basically. And so all of our plans and everything that we do through the day is dictated by the ground team. And so we're there to troubleshoot and carry out the mission, but that collaboration is key to making it work.
You feel pretty connected to the ground team. Those particular humans are the same humans throughout your six-ish months.
The team will change up a little bit, who's on console and who's doing the work. But what's interesting is you do have to slow down and remember. It's easy to get frustrated with the team that's telling you what to do because you're separated. You never see them face-to-face. And there might be a time they send up an instruction for you to go do something that seems completely ridiculous to you. And you're like, why would they have me do this? And since you're not seeing them face to face, it's easy to get frustrated with them. And I think that happens a lot online, people commenting on each other's things and people aren't nice to each other. And it's like, would you really say that to somebody if you were face to face with them? Probably not. And so it's really important to remember that they are on the team and the communication is so important.
Yeah. Karen, I know that when you were on the space station, you did a lot of beautiful photography. Did you have any other creative projects that you had time for? Did you have any time for anything?
I did have a little bit of time. Photography was great. And I learned so much about photography because, of course, the most beautiful subject matter in the world, Earth.
Yeah.
Because we're living there, you have weekends, you have a little bit of free time, although it ends up being not as much as you would think. I brought with me a few sewing supplies, just a tiny case of needles, some thread, and some fabric. And I brought a drawing pad and some pencils. And those I honestly did not touch. I think I got them out once and I couldn't get into that creative, inspired place when I was there. Yeah. I think it was just too busy. And for the sewing, I did do a few things. I started making this quilt block And I told the folks, the support team on Earth, that I would love to do some sort of a project, a sewing or quilting project. And they ran with it and got in touch with Quilts Inc., who does the International Quilt Festival in Houston, and came up with this idea to do this block challenge. And so I made a quilt block with a star theme. And I made a video when I was there then, putting out a call for people to submit quilt blocks, and we would sew them all into a quilt. That was the idea. They got so many quilt blocks, over 2,400 from 30 different countries. It was an amazing project. They ended up making 28 quilts with them, and they're just beautiful because it's star-themed quilts, everybody with their own idea of what it should look like, their own fabric. They're just beautiful when you look close up at them. Anyway, so I did the quilt block, and there was one day I was saying I was having a hard time getting into creative space. And I think with me, I need a long period of time without distractions and without meetings coming up and without having to make dinner for somebody. I need a lengthy period of time to really get deep into my creative space. And on Space Station, I just couldn't get there. I would have an hour here or half an hour here. There was one day, it was a Sunday, and we were supposed to have a cargo vehicle. It had launched and it was in orbit around Earth, and it was supposed to rendezvous with the space station that day. And we were going to capture it with the robotic arm and get it attached to the space station and open it up. And it was going to be a long day of work. My crewmates and I, we got up early, got our exercise out of the way, had nothing else on the schedule. And they called off the rendezvous. I can't remember the reason, but decided they were going to rendezvous the next day. So I had the entire day with nothing on my schedule, which was unheard of. And so I had been collecting this fabric, ugly green fabric that lines the Russian food containers. And so I'm like, I'm going to make something for Jack, my son. And he was three at the time, and he loved dinosaurs. And so I drew out a little pattern. I upcycled this fabric from the Russian food containers, used my thread, sewed together this thing, stuffed it with an old T-shirt that I had cut up. Because we don't do laundry there. When we're done using something, we put it in the trash and it deorbits and burns up in the atmosphere. And this T-shirt I was no longer going to use. So I just cut it up and made this little stuffed dinosaur for Jack. And that was really the only day where I felt like really in a creative space.
Does he still have that dinosaur?
He does. We have it in a display case.
Oh, that's awesome. And then I wanted to ask, did you say those star quilts, are they displayed somewhere?
It's interesting you ask that, because a couple of them are going to be coming out. They're actually in storage at the Briscoe Center at the University of Texas in Austin, where they are archived, basically. And I'm very excited that I'm having an exhibit at the National Quilt Museum in Paducah, Kentucky.
Whoa!
And three of the quilts, the one that has my star block, the children's quilt, and one other one that has a couple blocks from people from Paducah, where the museum is, are on display at the National Quilt Museum with some of my artwork. And then there are two quilts. So when volunteers stitched all these blocks together that they had gotten from all over the world, there were several of them that didn't meet the right size. And one of the volunteers, who's an employee of NASA, kept all those blocks. And since then, in the last 10 years, has figured out how to stitch them together. So there are two brand new quilts that have not ever been shown before.
Wow, very
cool. So those will be there as well. So it's really exciting. So it won't be the whole collection shown, but it will be some of them.
So March 27th through what?
Yeah, it's through July 30th.
Oh, great.
So it'll be there quite a while. Yeah.
So if you're going to Paducah.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Road trip to Paducah. That's what I say. Another question that I had, Karen, was just thinking about you going from your life as an astronaut to now your life as an artist. How was that shift for you? Were you just ready for it? And had you had long enough to emotionally prepare, or was it hard to make that shift?
Yeah, I think anybody who leaves the career of being an astronaut, that's hard, because how can you top that? It's what can I do next that tops what I've done? But I was ready. After I flew in 2013, within the year or so after that, I knew that I didn't want to fly again. I had reached the goal I set when I was a kid. I had some amazing experiences. I loved every second of it. But there are other astronauts, younger, new, who have not flown, who want their chance. I felt very good about what I'd done. And so I was ready to move on. Plus, I didn't want to leave my son again. It was hard to leave him the first time. And I would do it again because I loved that experience. But I don't need to do that twice. And so anyway, so I knew I was ready to move on, but it's the, what do you do next?
Yeah.
The question is, how do you make money doing something brand new? It's like, yeah. How do you make a career out of it? And so that part of it, but I will say, I don't know if you guys have ever struggled with imposter syndrome. My whole life, I'm in graduate school. I'm like, oh, all these other kids are so much smarter than me. And it was always this, I don't deserve to be here type of thing. And now going into this new world of quilting and art, I'm like, I'm not as good as these other people. And so it's the same thing coming back again, this imposter syndrome of, do I really deserve to be in this space? Do I deserve to have this exhibit at the National Quilt Museum? And so that kind of thing just always weighs on you.
Do you have to deserve it?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You're just an interesting person and they want to feature you. And I think you deserve it, but whether you do or not. They want you.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how we can still feel imposter syndrome?
Yep.
We'd be evolved enough by now. But yeah.
It's so deep, though.
So you've already talked about quite a few of your creative experiences. Is there one of your most enjoyable creative experiences that we haven't covered yet?
Most enjoyable. There have been some great ones. I would say, interestingly enough, my most enjoyable time creating was probably, again, related to space, because after my long mission, when I got home, I was tired. I had been training for 2 years, traveling a lot, and then in space for 6 months, and that tires you out. It's like this constant stress. Even though you don't feel stress, there's this constant stress. You're living in a hazardous environment. Your family's at home. You're not with them. And so there's this underlying level of stress that you don't feel at the time, but I think it builds up. And so by the time I got home, I was exhausted. And then we started into debriefs. We have to debrief all the different engineering groups about our flight and provide feedback and let them know how things went and all that. And a lot of medical tests. And so for a few months after I got back, it was also very busy. And then when I was done with debriefs and the main medical testing, I was able to stay home a little bit. And mm-hmm. I started redecorating my son's bedroom.
Oh,
so I had decorated his nursery before he was born with classic poo. And so now he's 4. And so I'm like, okay, at 4, let's change it to dinosaurs. And I bought the fabric for the curtains and I designed the rest of the room around that. And I made a quilt and blankets and a bed skirt and pillows and lampshades and a little shag rug and the shower curtain. I did the entire room and it was so fun. And I would only work a couple days a week, half days. And then when I finished his room, one of my friends who was pregnant asked me to do her nursery. And so I did her nursery. And again, I made the sheets for the crib. I made the quilt, the curtains. I just did the entire room. And it just felt so nice to be able to create and not be in that technical pressure world for a little while, I think.
Oh, I bet that was just wonderful. And to focus on that little space instead of all of space.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds so nice.
I like that what could renew you after all the science was going back to the creative world. That's what fulfilled you.
And maybe at that point is when I realized when I'm done being an astronaut, I need to go do this kind of stuff. This is what makes me happy.
Huh. Yeah. Karen, you said a little bit about this, but could you tell us a little more about your creative process? Do you have certain times a day that you like to create, or do you need it quiet, or do you listen to music? Tell us about your perfect conditions for your painting or drawing or when you're making a pattern.
I definitely have music on. I like it when nobody else is home. So sometimes I'm like, are you sure you don't want to take Jack on a little vacation? That's one of the things I like about when Jack's at school and Doug's at work and I'm at home alone. And that really helps me because it's just not the distraction of other noise, other people. So I like it quiet, but with music on. And I like to have a long period of time. For some reason, if I know I have a meeting coming up in an hour, or I know I have to go to the grocery store to get something for dinner, it's just hard for me to focus on the moment when I've got something on my mind that I need to do in the near future, like within the next couple hours.
Yeah. And you said you listen to music. What music are you listening to lately?
Really like to listen to, in fact, I'll ask Alexa to play like Brandy Carlile radio or something. Ooh. And so it's a mix of Brandy and other music like that. Or I also like First Aid Kit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so a lot of that type of stuff. Plus then sometimes I'll ask her to play a 80s alternative or okay. sometimes even something like an 80s love songs mix, something just totally cheesy, like that takes me back to growing up, yeah. or a 90s alternative. So it just depends on my mood, but it's usually a Brandi Carlile, Jason Isbell, First Aid Kit, that kind of a more relaxing type playlist that I have going.
I remember you said, was it when you were on the space station, that it was a Brandi Carlile song that was your wake-up song?
That was on my shuttle flight in 2008. Okay. So every morning, because the shuttle flights were only like 14 days, so they could do this every morning. The station flights being 6 months, you don't get a wake-up call every morning. Okay. We would probably be annoyed by it after a few weeks. But on the shuttle flight, that's how they woke us up. The flight control room, the team would play up a song. And it was either songs that were picked by your family or that you picked yourself. And when I flew on shuttle, I was single. And so I just picked my own songs. And I got to pick two because we were a crew of seven for 14 days. And one of them I picked was Have You Ever by Brandi Carlile. And I liked the part, Have You Ever Stared Into a Starry Sky? And so I made sure they played that portion of it.
I think I remembered that because I was listening to a lot of Brandi Carlile too at the time. And then you had mentioned that had been your wake up song. So now every time I hear that song, of course, that's what I think.
Nice.
Yeah. So who are some of your favorite creators?
I really love the work of Sophie Standing. She is a textile artist who uses very colorful flower fabric and makes animals. Okay. And she does thread painting to make it look very realistic. And when I first saw her work, I just fell in love with it. How she turns that fabric into these animals is absolutely amazing. She lived in Africa for a while, and I think she got a lot of inspiration from the animals in Africa, elephants and rhinos, but it's just beautiful work.
That's great.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to do with creativity, but I was thinking about with all the people that you've met, because you've met from presidents to all kinds of people along your journey. If you had to pick one that really just blew you away, that you're like, I can't believe I'm meeting this person. Is there someone that you could single out?
Oh, wow. Yes, actually, I have met a lot of people. Alan Bean. Alan Bean walked on the moon and became an artist after his NASA career. And after my long-duration flight, I remember I was back in my office and my secretary called and said, you got a message from Alan Bean. He was asking if you could call. And I was like, what? You've got to be kidding me. And so I called him and he had seen an article about my flight and he just wanted to talk to me. And so he said, you should come to my studio. His studio was attached to his house in Houston. And I was like, oh, I would love to. And so I set up a time and I went to his house, his studio. And he was the kindest. I don't know. How could somebody who walked on the moon be this kind? But he was just the absolute kindest person I've ever met. And NASA was setting up some PR stuff for a lunar anniversary, the moon landing anniversary. And they had planned on me doing an interview with him. And unfortunately, he passed away before we had the opportunity to do that. And I also was hoping to have the opportunity to take Jack to go meet him because he had a little book about being an astronaut that was published years ago. And he signed a copy of it for Jack without me asking. He said, here, take this to your son. He was just the most incredible person.
Oh, I love that answer. That is very cool. So Karen, Dawn is a coach and she has been coaching people for 20 years and she's very gifted and curious, is there something that Dawn could help you with?
I think what I struggle with now is I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of things. So I'm hoping to work on a next fabric line, which then will involve designing the fabric and designing quilts. I am like craving working on another textile art piece. I'm also trying to make quilts of my old patterns with my new fabric. My problem is that I've got too many things I want to creatively do or need to creatively do. And what I really want to creatively do the most is a new textile art project, like a portrait or something. But because of all this other stuff, I have to do a hard time getting started on it.
So I know you like to have workspace with no one there and you like to go deep. You're not a person that's going to want to work on it half an hour each day. You want to go like a week or something, right?
Yeah.
Get it off.
Yep.
Is there a week? Is the schedule such that you could just declare the first week of May, this textile thing is getting off the ground?
Yeah, I think that's probably what I need to do, actually, is just look at my calendar and finish whatever the things are I'm doing now and put off starting some of the other things I know I have to do for the next fabric line or that sort of thing. That could probably be delayed slightly.
Yeah, because the textile project that draws your heart forward, no one is expecting it. So it's managing these things other people want from you and carving out your own time.
Yep, I think that's exactly it. Yeah, I don't have anybody expecting me to do that artwork. Yeah.
So what if Ruth expects it?
Yes. I must make a commitment. Yes.
Yeah. What date? I just said the first week of May, but in real life of your life, what week do you want to do this? And then Ruth can expect it.
Yes, I'll check in with you and be like, how's it going, Karen?
And then I'm going to be all stressed out.
No, that's stressful. Let's not do that.
I'm just kidding.
Some people don't like accountability and it's fine if you're that person.
Yeah. It is harder with stuff that is like totally that type of creative. Like I can sit down and make a quilt, especially if I'm now like doing a couple that I'm doing with a pattern because it's a little more mindless. It's not being as creative. But when I have to be completely creative, it's hard for me to make a commitment on it because I do feel a little pressure with that then. I don't know. It's a weird feeling.
What are the conditions that create creativity? Like you said, when you were in the International Space Station, you just couldn't get to that spot.
Yeah, it starts with an idea that I get excited about doing. Like I did a portrait of Doug, my husband, and I started it when he was in space. And I was just very excited about it because he had just launched into space on the SpaceX Dragon. And I'm going to do a portrait of him in his suit. And I just had this idea and I got really into it. I wanted to finish it before he got back. And then I started to feel a little pressure because I was like, oh, I want to finish it before he's back. And I couldn't get it done. And so he came back. And then I went back to it and finished it. But I was starting to get a little bit stressed with that pressure of having a timeline.
Yeah.
So I just had to let it go. And then there's a few other pieces. I did one of the space shuttle, in particular, the last space shuttle launch, which my husband was on. And I wanted to get it done by the 10th anniversary of that launch, which would have been July of 21. And I tried and I couldn't. And then I started to get stressed because he wasn't going to have it done by the 10th anniversary. So I let it go for a little while and then I finished it up later. So it's funny because I need to get excited about it and almost set a time for myself. So I get excited about it, but then inevitably I won't get it done when I want to. And I just have to live with that.
So something sets it off.
Something
like
sets it off.
Like an actual space shuttle taking off sets it off.
Yeah.
So like what if Bruce is joyfully anticipating that you started it, not that you finished it?
That I think would be more, yes. That's actually a good point. I never thought of it like that. If somebody's expecting me to get working on something and not expecting the final product.
Yeah. I would love to get like an email from you just letting me know that you
that
got
I've gotten
started
on it. Okay. Yeah, I could be held accountable for that.
What day is that email?
I'm thinking of my timeline through April, spring break, vacation. I have some fabric stuff due in June. See where I'm at?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we have a good idea of how long that fabric stuff takes?
No, it just depends on how my creative process is going. I do have an exact deadline of when I have to have my first round of designs ready in June, maybe the beginning of July.
Okay, 4th of July.
Fourth of July.
Ooh. We can remember that date. That has to do with stars.
Perfect. Yeah. How does that feel, Karen?
There's potential in that.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks for being here.
Wow. Thank you so much, Karen.
It was a joy talking to you guys. You guys are easy to talk to.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Created Creative.
We're so glad that you could be with us. And please don't forget to share our podcast with your friends. Like us on social media. Go create something.
Go create something.